In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
C-R-I-M-E-W-A-V. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. The Crime Wave is produced by Mystery Dog, Aldo Calcagno, and it is not safe for your minivans. That means it might contain swearing, violence, and all types of shit.
Crossing the Border by John Dodds. Crawling out from beneath the battered truck, Harry stood and surveyed his handiwork. The makeshift patch on the exhaust would hold for a while longer, but he needed it fixed properly sooner or later. Through the fly-specked window of the shack, he could see Gale folding the sheets they'd soaked in a tub of water and then lain beneath last night against the sweltering heat. The peeling paint on the bedstead revealed the sleepless rust. The floorboards creaked, and grime and mildew clogged the floral pattern in the once white lace curtains. She was neat and orderly, as a rule, and he could see the place disgusted her. "How long do we have to be here?" she'd asked in the middle of the night, failing to keep the accusatory tone from her voice. "Till we're ready." Harry had craved a cigarette at that point, and wondered once again why he'd decided to give them up. He'd driven 12 hours, with only 10-minute breaks, too tired to be impressed by the absence of a single town, a single landmark for most of that time. His memory of mountains and green places struggled against a starkness that tried to devour them like the belly of a whale. It was only the thought of the money that kept him going. That, and the prospect of a place to lay their heads, a place they could stop running for a few days. Only Harry knew they were running, though. And why? He failed to comprehend why she wasn't angrier, having dragged her across more borders than he could count. These past months they'd eked a meagre living in part-time jobs, Gale, more often than not, waitressing while Harry picked some pockets and rolled some dice. He told her he'd been doing some joinery on a farm, or pumping gas. He no longer called it petrol, and England was a dim memory. Harry was one of the dispossessed, with nothing he called home but Gale, the only anchor he had known in his entire life. The one time she'd said to him, "Do you love me?" he got furious. How could she ask him that? Was she so insecure? But it was just a reflection of his own feelings. He'd often wanted to ask her the same thing, but thought it a weakness. "Just 'cause I don't say it all the time," he growled. "You don't say it at all." He softened at that, put his arms around her, and loved the way she folded into him like a letter into an envelope. What do they need the world for? It was just a word. Words mean damn all. Inside the shack, he sluiced his hands under cold, cloudy water sputtering from the tap. The tin basin ran from the spray. Harry thought about the note from Calder and the locker key in the zip pocket of his aviator jacket. The railway station had to be 200 miles from here, and he couldn't free his mind from the satchel of cash that waited for him there. Of course, there was the risk of being caught. A big risk. Harry had only been the driver, but if any one of them had been caught, the police would know everything. It was Calder's and Harry's share, but Harry had the key. Harry knew that if he took it for himself, Calder would kill them both, and he was out there somewhere, and seemed to know where they were at all times. That was how he'd got Calder's note, from the desk clerk of a motel they'd stayed in 4 nights ago. The note said simply, "It's time to get the money. You'd best leave the old lady behind." Harry couldn't make up his mind about what to do. If he went, the police could be waiting for both him and Calder, or Calder could be police bait. Or he could lose Gale. Harry did what he always did. He flipped a coin. It spun in the scorched air. "Heads I go," he said to himself, caught the coin, and slipped it across the back of his hand. The silver head looking up at him when he lifted his hand left the metallic taste of fear in his mouth. They waited at the shack 2 days, barely speaking. Harry got supplies from town 20 miles away. They tried to make love, but the heat was too much, and so they slept. In the night, he thought he heard her say, "You never make decisions, babe. I'm always the one." By morning, Gale was gone. He found Calder's note laid out on the rickety kitchen table. Beneath it, she'd written, "I'm going to have our baby on my own. Get your money or don't. Just decide." He sat on the porch for a long, long time, a slight breeze rustling the paper in his hand. His eyes were wet, and it was the only piece of moisture in the dry landscape. They'd both kept their secrets then, his own less well than Gale's. If she told him she was pregnant, he'd only feel obligated to her. That would be her logic. But she was wrong. So wrong. Now she'd be going home, and she'd be in no doubt he would know that. But Gale was not one for ultimatums. One of the things he loved about her. She just wanted him to decide for himself. Drought had cracked the land here like ancient leather, and the light, even in the shade of the wooden awning, was hot enough to dry his tears. It wasn't until towards twilight that Harry finally stood up and, stretching the cramp out of his legs, withdrew the last silver coin from his jeans. He flipped it. "Heads, I get the money." He slapped it down and waited, gazing at his right hand folded over his left like a backwards handshake. He waited. At last, he repocketed the coin without looking at it. He stepped outside the shack, got his jacket, and took the locker key out of it. He studied it for a while, rubbing his thumb across the plastic tag with a locker number on it, walked outside and got into the truck. It would be a long drive south, but if he was lucky, he'd catch up with Gale's bus before she got home. Shortly after midnight, it started to rain. Puffs of steam rose off the truck's bonnet, and the roof rattled with the pounding it was getting. 2 hours driving, and it was as if he'd passed from the Gobi Desert straight into a monsoon. He couldn't stop glancing at his mobile phone, where it lay on the passenger seat, its fluorescent screen winking at him, calling his attention from the road. Something had made him switch it on. He'd been saving the battery, but now it was his only chance of contact with Gale, or the phone chirruped. He grabbed it. "Gale?" Harry waited for the relief that her voice would bring. "All right, pal. You in a hurry or something?" "Calder. Shit, man, where the hell are you? I'm waiting for you." He paused. "With Gale." Harry almost dropped the phone. He hauled the wheel to the right and mounted the grassy verge, a stream of cars honking at him like angry hornets. "If you've touched her..." "Harry, as if I would. She's your woman." "She's got my baby inside her." Harry wanted to scream at him. "My baby!" "I need a bit of insurance, you know what I mean. Sort of, think of it like a pension plan. When we dumped the stuff, we agreed to split up. You got the locker key, but Harry, mate, you shouldn't have put your gun on me. I would have trusted you. You know that, right?" Calder trusted no one, of course. Harry always intended to split the money with him, mainly because he knew how dangerous the guy was, but the locker was crucial, since the cops were already on the lookout. The bank clerk never really expected that Calder would shoot him, and he was still showing that terrified smile when the bullet entered his forehead and decorated the calendar with a picture of the Seychelles behind him with brain matter and blood. "Where are you, Calder?" Harry tried to keep the tone in his voice even. "I am exactly where you think I am. The cops will be watching the station. That's what I thought." Harry could almost hear Calder's self-satisfied smile. "But, you see, they're idiots. I already checked it out. They have no idea. Not a clue, man. Maybe it was the other robbery that made them think we were on a spree up country." Harry's throat tightened. "What other robbery?" Calder snorted. Unbelievably, he found this amusing. "What robbery, Calder?" "I just needed some immediate cash. It was getting expensive, and my wallet was a little dry." "You kill anyone?" Harry knew what the answer was going to be. The truck's engine was still running, so he swung it back into the river of traffic, keeping the mobile clamped to his ear. He was maybe another 80 miles away from the station. "These convenience stores, mate, they're really not that convenient. You know, queue jumping, jostling for the last discounted pack of cigarettes, and, you know, people just get in the fucking way." Jerking the phone away from his ear left the end of Calder's psychotic screeching hanging in the air. It was a trick he played on people, making them think he was unbalanced, whereas really, he was cool and calculating. The psycho act just gave him an edge, kept everyone on their toes. Almost afraid of the answer he might get, Harry said, "Where's Gale?" Is she okay? Calder made no reply. If she's not okay, Calder, you're a dead man. The words were no sooner out of his mouth than he regretted it. Calder was easy to antagonize, even if he didn't show it, the way a dog is infinitely more dangerous the second it stops barking. She's fine. Like a doctor calmly telling you the cancer's devouring you from the inside and you've only got 2 months to live. A pair of yellow, feral eyes caught in his headlights and Harry slammed the brakes. The coyote, or whatever it was, skulked back into the shadows, completely unconcerned by its near miss. Harry hadn't noticed that the rain had stopped, or that the traffic had lightened. The truck's engine stalled, and he had to twist the key in the ignition 5-6 times before it coughed back to life. He was perspiring. The rain had left everything humid, the thing he hated the most about this part of the world. As he booted the truck along the highway, he fought back the pornographic image of Calder's .45 jammed into Gale's mouth, her copper-coloured hair wrapped around his fingers as he yanked back her head to expose her throat. By the time he reached the mall car park, just behind the station, it was dawn, the low sunlight bouncing off puddles of oily water and forcing him to scrunch up his eyes. He heard shutters being ratcheted up, the echo of cleaners' voices as they swabbed the tiled walkways between the stores. Calder, dressed in a powder blue suit with a yellow t-shirt, his pathetic idea of dressing to impress, stood examining a display of Timberland boots through the hexagonal shutters over the plate glass. His hands were folded together loosely behind his back. Harry could slit his throat now without any difficulty. Except if he did that, he'd never find Gale, if he knew Calder as well as he thought. Where is she, Calder? Harry! Calder's shovel-flat face broke into a smile. He pulled up his lapels, realigning the shoulders of his jacket. What'd you think? Got me a Rolex, too. And he shot his cuff to display an ostentatious gold timepiece. Jesus Christ, Calder, are you off your fucking head? Calder flinched, but tapped down any further emotion. No problem, Padre. Just get the stuff out of the locker, and I am out of your life. And Gale, best blowjob I ever had. Harry went blind for a second and found himself with his hands around Calder's snaky throat, his thumbs jammed deep into his Adam's apple. Something was pressing into Harry's abdomen, a hunting knife of some sort, with a smooth edge and a sawtooth back that would spill his belly onto the tarmac in a single twist. He should have pulled the pistol out of the waistband of his jeans, but that would have put Gale, and our baby, he reminded himself, even more at risk. He withdrew, catching from the corner of his eye a man with a dripping mop deliberately turning away in a pantomime of getting on with his job. The blade was spirited away. Calder had always been good with blades. I told you she was okay. Now get the money, arsehole. Last chance, Harry told himself. This is the last chance I'll get. Back home, he'd killed a man. A boy, really. It had been purely accidental, even although Harry truly wanted him dead at that moment. The orphanage where Harry had been raised naturally had its resident bully, in this case one who was into drug dealing and cutting his enemies with a craft knife. A surreptitious slash across the back of the hand here, the point jabbed into a shoulder blade there. And one day, Harry had just had enough. He pushed back, punching into Barlow's unyielding chest, punching again and again and again, while Barlow merely smiled and waited for his moment. Enraged, Harry delivered an uppercut beneath the bully's ribs, winding him and sending him hurtling backward, knocking his head against a bollard in the visitor's car park. Blood streaked the black iron as Barlow slid to the ground. Harry never forgot the gleam fading from his opponent's eyes. He ran, and he's never stopped since, but Calder was Barlow in another guise, and he felt a complex mixture of remorse and loathing as he dug into his pocket and clasped the key to locker 427. I want to see you first. Calder worked the shoulders of his jacket again, twisted his head to one side to release his constricting neck muscles. I could kill you right here, he said in a low tone. And if I haven't got the key, plus you don't know the locker number, chance I'll have to take. Harry presented a calm he wasn't feeling. Tell you what, you're a gambling man, right? Like me. Calder nodded suspiciously. He showed Calder the coin. Heads, I get half. Tails, you get everything. But first you're going to tell me where Gale is. Harry noticed Calder thinking, not something he did very often. So, he began slowly, I'll win both ways. Yep. Oh, and also I called the cops. They'll be here in an hour. Calder was perspiring a little now, and Harry knew he had him. He turned on his heel without a word and led Harry to the wheelie bins behind the Safeway. He lifted the lid of one, revealing Gale trussed up with clothesline, bands of electrician's tape wrapped around her mouth. Her eyes implored as Harry tenderly lifted her out and cut away her ties. She was sobbing and coughing bile. Some of it splashed on Calder's new loafers, which made him mad, but he didn't do anything about it. Okay, said Harry, tossing the coin in the air. He let it drop to the ground and stepped on it. Raising his foot, pretending to look, he said, Shit. It's heads. Calder grinned, the moron. He withdrew his revolver, keeping it waist high and motioned with it. The money better be there. It's all yours, Calder. They walked through the mall, the straggling early morning shoppers stepping back in horror at the sight of the gun. When they reached the station platform, Calder had no sooner got the key in the door than he found six police shotguns pointed at his head. The cops just materialised from thin air. Harry knew they'd be there. He'd called them to make sure of it. Both he and Calder were cuffed and led to the exit. Harry! Gale wailed. Harry, what's happening? A policewoman gently put a blanket across his shoulders as though this could somehow assuage the grief, the fear, the puzzlement. It's okay, baby, he said. It'll all be okay. I just thought it was time I made a decision.
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIMEWAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on the website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by The Crime Wave.
In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.